So the question was asked, what does one do with the Zohar that was published by, what's the organization called?
The Kabbalah Center.
The Kabbalah Center. So before we deal with that question, let's see, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch about a Sefer Torah? Sefer Torah is holier than a Zohar, right? And Sefer Torah is the holiest scripture we have. It's the holiest form of writing we have. Now, says in Shulchan Aruch, Sefer Torah, shekatvo apikores, if you have a Sefer Torah that an apikores wrote, yisaref, burn it. So it has God's name written explicitly. It's the Torah. It doesn't get holier than that. It's written on parchment, with ink, by a scribe who's an apikores. What does an apikores mean? He says, I accept the whole Torah. Everything was given by God. But the rabbis added one letter. It should say Vayu Veinei Lea Arukot instead of Rakot. Instead of Veinei Lea's eyes were soft, it should say they were long. She had long lashes. There was a man, Ben Ephraim, who said that. In Ibn Ezra's time, there was a person who said it. His name was Ben Ephraim. So he said, it's missing an olive. Just add an olive. So Ibn Ezra writes in his commentary, and I say you should retract an olive from his name. If you take an olive off of Ephraim, it becomes Parim, son of the cows. So he said, he wants to say there's an olive missing from the Torah. I want to say there's an olive should be missing from his name. So if a person says only one thing from the Torah isn't exactly the way our tradition has it, he's an apikores. And if he writes a Sefer Torah, he could have Peis down to here, he could keep Shabbos from early to late, he could do all the mitzvahs in the world. When he writes that Sefer Torah, we'll burn it. I don't think this Mr. Berg is off on one letter in the Torah. I don't think so. I think it's much more than one letter. You could start with the fact that the Torah prohibits teaching Torah to the Madonna. But it doesn't end there.
So we shouldn't read his words.
I wouldn't. It says if he wrote a Torah, we'd burn it. I don't know, that's pretty harsh. Notice that if it were just a non-Jew who wrote a Torah, we'd bury it. And apikores is worse.
What about these as an encyclopedia for check something?
So then you have to ask, why does the halacha say to burn it? Maybe you could use this Torah for practice reading. Don't use it in a shul. The halacha doesn't say, well, keep it in a storage house. Keep it in your back pocket. Bury it. It doesn't say that. It says burn it.
Okay, the head of the Hebrew firm, he said that you can have it in your house and use it as an encyclopedia, but it's not going to give a bracha to your house. Because the Zohar would give you a bracha, but it won't give you a bracha, but you can have it, you can use it for an encyclopedia.
But Mordechai Eliyahu said to remove it from your home. Uh-huh. And when the Machon got a donation of a whole set of it, I didn't know what it was, but I don't have a Zohar at home, so the Machon offered it to me. So I said fine, and then I didn't end up taking all of it. I took a few volumes, and I take a few volumes, and then they forgot that they thought I wasn't interested in it, so they gave it to someone else. So I come one day and I see all the other volumes are gone. So I said, okay, if you give someone else the other volumes, why shouldn't he have a complete set? So I'll bring back the volumes I had at home and give him those volumes so he has a complete set, whoever he gave to. I still don't know who they gave it to. So they said fine. So I brought back the volumes that were in my house, and they're still sitting in one of the offices here on someone's closet. And the rabbi walked in and he said, boy, this place has problems. So I said, what do you mean? He said, how could they have those books in here? A place of holiness has those works here? So I said, you're exaggerating. So he said, no, I could tell you stories of people who came to Rav Eliyahu and they said, we have this problem at home, that problem at home, that problem at home. And he asked them, do you have that work in your house? And they said, yeah. And he said, well, first get it out of your house. Let me see if you still have problems. And they got out of their house and they stopped having problems. And he told me when I heard this story, so I started telling my congregation, whoever has it in their house, get it out of their house. And people start coming to me and telling me, we took it out of our house, and you know what? suddenly this problem dissipated and that problem dissipated. It's not the one that goes through all these stories. That's why I began with the Shulchan Aruch. But if you're starting to quote me, Rav Shirky, so one good story deserves another.
Yeah, but Rav Shirky said that just specifically to us when we asked him about it.
He was very, very.
Before, though, he told other people, put in Gnitsa, he actually told the person, put Kaf in Gnitsa. Dr. Gruskin took it out of Gnitsa. He wanted to know what Rav Shirky thought about it, so he took it to Rav Shirky. Rav Shirky just told him that it's best not to have it, but you use it as a dictionary.
So I assume the reason he's more lenient than what it says in Shulchan Aruch about burning it is because the material is printed by a printing press. Maybe that's why he's more lenient.
He personally put it in the Gnitsa.
I'm saying, so it could be that's why he's saying it has a different din, because it's not handwritten, maybe.
He didn't
I don't know.
Add it, Rav Brook didn't add or check and printed Rav Ashai's commentary in the Zohar, which was...
How do you know?
I think this is, I really would.
The Hebrew version didn't matter.
No, I
don't know how you know that. I mean, it's many, many volumes. How do you know he didn't enter the tray? And again, the halacha about the Sefer Torah is talking about one that's written perfectly. Nothing added or detracted.
I think that he has nothing to do with the Asa.